Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Something is afoot at the homebrew store. Oh yeah, it's Kinky and the Geek.
Sorry.
Yeah, bro.
Oh god, don't start the bro.
Yeah, no, bra.
Did I tell you about Joe?
No.
Because he got into bro mode. And he's starting to do, he's like, no, it's okay, bro. And Pac would be like looking at him, just like, I don't know, but you smell like dude, and I like you. He'd be like, hey, it's okay, bro. We'll hang out. We'll get some bras. It's like, okay.
Dude, we'll get some toasty
gross
waves, brah. Hanging it. Dude, I smoked some great herb, brah.
You're way too into that. You are secretly a weird surfer California guy.
Hear that, I just want to be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah,
But you'd have one. Yeah, his sister's really sick right now. So.
Yeah, well, that, and he's only got one expression.
Yeah.
And
he's rich enough, he doesn't need anymore.
And he only has the one.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he's better than, because I was watching Point Break, all I saw was Bill. Bill S. Preston. FBI agent, dude.
Yeah, actually, have you heard Widget Walls from Need Coffee from Weekend Justice goes into a whole
thing about Keanu tries so hard, yeah.
And it is true, he just needs to be in the right role.
He's an action guy. He's an action guy who thinks he needs to do dramatic or Shakespearean stuff.
Or Bill.
Bill, well, yeah.
Was he Bill or Ted?
He was Bill. Bill was S. Bill. Preston, Esquire.
Oh, right.
Ted Theodore, whatever, yeah.
Ted Theodore Logan?
Logan? Logan, yeah.
Yeah. God, I gotta watch this. We're not talking about movies. We're not. I actually, having listened to the last
Bill
two
and Ted's
podcasts,
not a movie, man. And it's an experience.
It's a lifestyle.
It's an experience, dude. Wild Stallions, man. I based my whole life after them. I still work at the Circle K, though.
That would be sad.
But brah, I got a rockin' band, but no one comes and sees it.
What is it? Is it a Big Gulp that they're always going on about, the Big Gulp or the
I don't remember. They were outside the Circle K, which was
again real
funny, because I had friends. There used to be a Circle K in Auburn, and I've had friends that worked at the Circle K.
Okay.
So that was a running joke that something's afoot at the Circle K.
Yeah, I bet that never got old.
Oh, no, it never did when we were doing it.
Like that song that matches my first name that, you know, at least once a year somebody, you know, I'll pick up the phone, they'll be singing that stupid song. It's like, really, I hate that song, but thank you. That was so cute of you. You're clever.
Well, we amused ourselves so much with that.
Yeah. Actually, my favorite part of those was... Yeah, I like the second one where they're going, getting all the different... Was that the one where they were going, getting the historical... Or was that the first one?
That was the first one. Second one is where they end up dying and have to, like, beat death at different games. They, like, play him at Twister and Battleship.
Yeah, that's the part that I really liked. Yeah, that's the part that I really liked. Yeah, God, I need to watch
this. Death ended up being playing bass in their band.
Yeah, you know, our significant others were tiny, tiny, tiny children when that came out.
Yeah.
Gross. That was gross. Welcome to Kinky and the Geek. How's your week been?
Been good. Yeah. We had Aruka's birthday.
Yay!
Saturday we had
30th birthday,
yes, we knew.
Yeah.
In fact, everybody else was singing happy birthday and wanted to be happy birthday to you. Renew! Happy birthday! And that's what I would do. Renew!
Nice.
Anyway, happy birthday, dear Aruka. And I said, get your ass to carousel. That's when she flips me off.
Okay. Fair enough. And you guys had crab.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, Joe's Crab Shack. That's where her. She's got a seafood. It's a whole dolphin thing. She loves seafood. That's her spirit animal. That's what Aruka stands. That's what Aruka means in Japanese. Is dolphin.
So her spirit animal is
a dolphin. Yeah.
A sea creature. So she likes to go eat sea creatures.
Yes. Okay. In fact, during Dragon Con, we have to hit the Long John Silver's that's in the food court.
Okay.
Because there is no Long John Silver's near our apartment.
Really?
Yeah. There's no fried chicken place. There's no KFC. There's no Church's. There's no Popeyes, Bojangles, and there's no either Long John Silver's or Captain D's.
See, I'm limited to the big two, which is Taco Hell and Dickie Me's, because those are the two that are open when I finish work. That's my fast food of choice, but of circumstance.
Right. Well, we've got a few around us. We've got a Chick-fil-A literally outside the gates of our apartment.
Yeah.
Taco Bell, Wendy's, Burger King, on the other side, almost directly outside of our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those to pick from.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
so tired of fast food because, you know, it's kind of gotten to be, whenever my roommate is in town, she and her boyfriend are just all over the kitchen. And I can't even get in there to make myself anything because they're cooking shit and bitching about, you know, how everything is not clean even though none of the dishes are mine.
Right.
You know? They're the ones who mess it up and then, you know, they're all pissed off because it's filthy.
Right. Well, we tend to eat more at home. We try to make sure we do.
Yeah. I need to. I would be happier and healthier, I think, if I did.
Right. And, the whole healthier thing now that I've been to the doctor and... Because, I was having the whole lower intestinal stuff.
Right.
Basically told, you need to lose weight. And
thanks.
I already knew I need to lose weight. And then when they weighed me, that cemented it.
Right.
So, trying to get healthier, trying to walk more, drinking a lot more water.
Yeah.
But that's what I like. This thing, you'll probably hear it rattle every so often with the ice. But this is actually supposed to be, it's 2.2 liters.
Okay.
And it's supposed to represent all the water you're supposed to drink during the day.
Oh, cool.
So,
see, I always carried mine around like that. Like, I wanted one big bottle that I could just work on all day.
Right, and that's what I've been doing. I have found myself, but then again, working in the hot, especially when I'm working at job one and working in the hot stock room, I'll go through more than this.
Right.
But you don't want to go too through because you can wash out your electrolytes.
Yeah, you can actually overload your kidneys and have all kinds of kidney problems.
That's if you're trying. That's also if you don't release, because you had that one woman who they were doing a contest. I want to say Seattle, Portland, somewhere like that, where they were doing a hold your wee for the wee. And they had a woman end up dying because she drank so much water and was so determined to win the wee that she basically drowned in her own fluids.
Well, it's not only that, but it reduces the efficiency of the kidneys. The kidneys need something to work with.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you're just constantly feeding them this weak stream of water-filled
Well, that's why I don't always, stuff, like, I always have coffee in the morning. I had, tea with dinner, so it's not just nothing but water.
Yeah.
But, of course, you want to keep the pipes lubricated as we're speaking. But also, it's good for your digestion, and it's good to help make you go.
Yeah.
You're drinking a lot more water.
Hey, let's not talk about this. This is getting gross again. Why do we keep going to this place?
This is a health thing more. This is what I'm talking about.
We're not health geeks. We are kinky and the geek. Let's talk about something geeky or kinky.
Hey. What? We've seen some of the kinks that are out there that we don't approve of, but it is considered kinky.
Enough.
So
Okay.
There are people who are both into brown
and water.
Yeah,
there are people who are listening to this and enjoying it.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, how about something I can geek on?
Okay.
This never happens. We were talking about eating at home.
Yeah.
I got Phantom into tea. Into gourmet tea.
Right.
Which is one of my huge things. I actually have a tea blog out there where I would review different teas.
It's teas and cheese with you. Those seem to be the big
yeah.
two things for
blog?
You. I haven't seen the blog, but I know I've
watched. Cheese and cheese.
Yeah, well, I've also listened to you and Dendrain and seen you and Dendrain talking about that on Twitter and in real life.
Yeah.
Talking about teas and cheese
and
stuff like that.
So he actually went and bought just some samples of tea, just small little bits, so he could try some different things.
Right.
Because he's going to learn how to brew it the right way, which I'll get into more in a second. But he just spent $40 on tea. He's all like, oh my God.
Which, from what I've heard, depending on what you're buying, isn't that
for
hard to do.
For gourmet tea, yeah. I mean, he really didn't get a lot for that. And he was all like, oh my God, I just spent $40. I'm like, dude, I've spent $150 at Teavana just on tea. No accessories, no anything, just the tea. It is so easy to do.
Yeah, I can imagine because you can't get, because I've actually watched the Good Eats where they've gone through all the different grades of teas and how they deal with it and all that.
And a lot of times they'll be blended. Like, I've got one from Teavana that's Spice of Life that has actual coriander seeds in it.
Huh.
Which is not a cheap spice.
No.
But it is. It is
but
an
it
expensive
must flow.
Tea, right? yes, that is true. But it does add something so good to that tea, and that's probably my favorite tea because it has that really complex. You know, coriander is more of a savory spice.
Right.
Not very sweet, and when you add the sugar to it, it gives you this really complex flavor, and it's in a white tea base, which usually a white tea is going to be really kind of weak.
Right.
But this one isn't. The Teavana teas, the white ones, are not weak. They don't have that bitter tannin flavor of like a black tea, which has been roasted longer and fermented, or like an oolong, which has been fermented. God, it's good. So anyway, so I'm all jazzed. He bought like a mate, a chai, and I think he bought like a green tea.
Right. I do like the chai tea lattes they have at Starbucks. That's one of my favorite. If I'm not getting a coffee, I'll get a chai tea.
Well, I need to get you and Aruka over sometime, and we can just sit down and drink a couple cups of really good tea. One of my other favorite ones is Teavana will blend two of their teas that taste really good together, and they give you samples. So you go in and you can try these things before you buy them. And that's actually what, you know, made me want to buy them.
Right.
God, there's like a tropical rooibos, which rooibos is like a, it's also called African red bush.
Okay.
And it's not tea. It has nothing to do with the actual tea plant. It's just used for a liquid that is steeped from an herb.
I think I saw that stripper down at the pony, African red bush.
Rooibos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Rooibos was her stage name.
Okay. Everybody just called her the African red bush.
But this is, it's tropical rooibos with jasmine pearls.
Okay.
Which jasmine's like a nice green tea that, and they're rolled into these tiny little pearls. So they kind of like unfurl as you're brewing it.
Okay.
And you've got the rooibos, which is, it's very fine and it just kind of floats through. So a lot of it's so pretty when you brew it in a clear glass pot. So yeah, so he's finding out, you know, long story short, this is what I can't geek on with some bit of authority. We're actually trying to get Mallory Duvall to start drinking some tea, and JJ Hawkins from Mars Needs jumped in, and he wanted to, you know, talk about his favorite teas, and so all the tea fans were just like, oh my God, Mal, we're going to show you what to drink. But yeah, I mean, they're like, the temperatures have so much to do. Like, you can take one cup of tea and do it at the right temperature and do it, you know, 20 degrees higher. Totally different cup of tea.
Right.
Completely different. It changes the flavor so much. And the times.
Right.
You know, some teas you only want, you know, to steep for 1 minute and then get all the tea out of there. Because otherwise it just ends up leaching the tannins and it ends up being really bitter.
Right.
So he's learning all that stuff. I'm really proud of him.
What was an episode of Big Bang Theory where not Sheldon, Leonard, who was played by the guy from Roseanne, David.
Okay, yeah.
His mom comes in. His mom is basically the female version of Sheldon.
Okay.
You know, very analytical, wants what she wants, she has a schedule. Mm-hmm. And she's basically like, Mom, I brewed you a cup of tea. And she goes through this long list of stuff that, yes. Uh-huh. She goes, sip, it's cold. It's like, nice. Okay, I'll start over.
Yeah.
This is one of these things. This is the reason it's cold is because there's this long list of things that he has to do correctly before it's what she wants.
Tea.
Yeah, it's a decent tea. And sorry. Flashback. My friend Angel put up a thing. We used to love watching The State.
Mm-hmm. Love The State.
And it was, she found a clip to one of our favorite bits where it's this guy comes in and asks for, it's a fast food restaurant, and you have this one guy who's, you know, the cheerful guy at the counter, and then the other guy just kind of stand there with a blank look on his face, and it's like, he's like, y'all have this, and he goes, he wants a cheeseburger, Carl! Don't you want it? And it's like the manager comes out, he's this guy's all abusive to Carl. And then Carl's just got that dumb look on his face, and the manager comes out, and the guy's, yeah, this guy, you know, it's being rude to your girl, and goes, Carl, and I can't remember. I thought we've talked about this, but I guess talking isn't good enough. As he's slipping on brass knuckles and slams into the counter, and all of a sudden the door comes flying open, and this guy in a suit comes in, and they go, "Oh my God, this is the owner!" And you see him all scattering. He like grabs the manager and starts beating him with the counter thing, and he tries to run away. The manager tries to run away, and the owner hits him with a blow dart, and he goes down.
Having worked in fast food, would you say that? Relatively
me and Angel and my sister have all worked fast food.
Okay.
And when we saw that, we died.
right.
And she put the clip on, and it's just that one point where he throws. It's like, you know, he goes, I'm like, did you want a small soda? Well, no, I didn't register. Okay, hold on. It's like, Carl, the guy wanted a small, he's flicking it in his face. If he wanted a small soda, he would have asked for a small, and then throws it in his face. And that's what got me thinking, is the whole not getting the tea right, and then throwing it in their face, and then all of a sudden it went to that. So that's how my train of thought went.
Actually, my favorite state was the one where they were eating Muppet. Like, what is this meat? And they've got these big blue things on their plate. And he's like, well, it's, or should we tell him, dear? Go ahead, it's Muppet.
I don't remember
and, like,
that one.
Where do you find Muppet? And he's like, we kill them ourselves. And so they open up the window, which is next to the dining room table.
Right.
And they yell out, far. And then a Muppet comes and runs up and goes near, and they grab it and club it.
Oh, what was another one they did? They had a one where a guy goes to pick up his buddy, and he has sea monkeys that are fully grown. Because that's what happened. If you keep them long enough, they become fully grown people, basically. And they start threatening the guy because he didn't, you know, I had sea monkeys, but they died. And they're like, yeah, this is what happens when you treat sea monkeys wrong. And it does all that. But every time the guy that owns them comes back in, they're all happy and not even speaking English.
Yeah.
And there's the whole guy with the guy, I'll dip my balls in it guy.
Yeah,
and then there was the
and it's so funny how many of those people still work together. Like, you can tell that they were friends.
Right.
Because, like, Michael Ian Black just did a show with two of the other guys from the state.
Right.
Well, who maybe haven't gotten as much attention as him or the people who went to
Reno 911, because you'll notice, because I was noticing watching, and I never noticed this, but the guy who was ordering it, it's like, okay, I knew the guy who was Lieutenant Dangle, and the tall freaky chick,
right,
who was the only female on the state, was Reno 911,
right,
but I didn't realize
the others made cameos.
The racist. The one that had the mustache and the glass always wore the vest.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that was also a member of the state until I saw him on the sketch.
He was the two short guys with mustaches. There's the one that's the gray-haired and the one that's got the dark hair. Both of those were on the state.
Well, I don't remember the gray-haired, but the one that was always the racist.
Yeah.
That always wore the vest.
Yeah.
You know, but he was also the guy that was always partnered with the tall black guy on the show.
And I know Michael Ian Black made an appearance on it, and so did the, I don't know his name, but Dip My Balls In It guy.
Yeah.
He made an appearance, too, where he was flirting with Lieutenant Dangle.
Oh, okay.
Over his dog who was lost, and they were flirting, and then he ends up like, ow, can I see your gun? And he ends up pulling the gun on him and taking his wallet and the gun and everything. It was just hilarious.
We have season 6, but I think we may take that in.
Of Reno 911?
Yeah, Reno 911. It was the last season. And they lost. They had brought in two new guys. They were fairly funny, but
I haven't seen that final season.
Because the slutty girl was gone.
Oh, okay, the blonde.
Yeah, there's a blonde slutty girl.
Yeah.
And the kind of butchy, might be lesbian woman that came in later. She came in, I think.
Yeah.
She wasn't one of the original 911 guys, but she came in a little later, and she was...
Have you seen the movie?
No, haven't seen the movie.
Okay, you got to go see the movie, because it's just more of the same, but dirtier.
Right.
And I don't... Yeah, fuck you. I'm giving you spoilers.
Okay.
Because you, with all your, you know.
I don't, you know, guess what? Spoilers don't, because I can hear about it, but then seeing it's a whole different thing. So
well, there's this scene where she, like, shows up. They go to Miami for this cop convention.
Yeah, and then basically everybody else gets sick, and they're the only cops that are on duty.
Exactly, or they're held, yeah, I don't remember exactly what that story is, but she's like, yeah, you want to meet my friends? And she's hanging out with all these huge WNBA
right.
players. And somebody says something about her being a lesbian, you know, and she's always denying that she's a lesbian. She's like, I don't know why you people keep saying that. Now I think my friend over here is. It was hilarious.
But she's also not only is she the one everybody thinks might be a lesbian, but she's also the one that's highly religious. Because there's a whole line.
Part of it, yeah.
There's a whole episode where she's trying to save the slutty blonde.
Uh-huh.
At one point, they go to the baptismal.
I remember that. Yeah.
They go to the baptism at the lake thing, and she's wearing the white robe. And when she gets baptized,
uh-huh.
she's not wearing anything underneath the robe, and it's completely see through. But of course, she's now getting all the attention from the guys in the singles group.
Right. Okay, very cool. Yeah, I love that show. I actually have, I think, probably the first three on DVD. It's an awesome show.
Yeah.
I miss it.
I think a lot of it was... there's one hilarious where they're dealing with a rampaging Carrot Top.
That's right.
When he's, like, trashing his hotel room and ends up beating him up and driving off in their...
Actually, no, I'll tell you who I like, and it's a comedian, and I can't remember his name, but his name is Terry on the show, and he's the very extremely effeminate gay man on roller skates.
Yes, he's one of their he's one of their reoccurring guys.
Like, are you giving blowjobs on the roof for $5? No. Well, okay, if I wanted a blowjob, how much would it be for you? Maybe $5. And he's like, okay, see, you're arrested now. We've got to arrest you. And they're like going on and on. And he's always like, yeah, my dad totally gave me that for Flag Day. In the movie, his dad shows up, and I'll leave that for you because it's hilarious. It's an awesome scene.
Well, I know at some point, the guy from in one season, and I think I missed it, I want to say it's the dude from the Drew Carey show, Dieter. He's also the guy from Office Space, the next door neighbor, the construction worker.
Right.
He shows up in like a Dog the Bounty Hunter type scenario. I saw the commercials for it, but I never saw the actual episodes. But I liked him. He's really funny because I loved him in Office Space. And
you know, it's so funny because there have been so many sketch comedies or sketch comedy shows
that
suck. Okay, Little Britain is great. Have you watched
Little
Britain?
I haven't watched. I take that back. I may have seen some a little bit during the film fest.
Okay, that's really fucking funny. Weird, kind of uncomfortable funny. There's one called The Whitest Kids You Know that is on IFC.
I haven't seen it.
And my brother-in-law gave me the DVD, and he's like, oh, you gotta watch this. It's great. It's like totally like The State. It is nothing like The State. It's terrible. I haven't seen anything on there that I find even remotely redeeming.
It was a Comedy Central that it was Upright Citizens Brigade.
That's the one where Amy Poehler.
I don't know. I just remember.
Got her start.
I just remember seeing it on Comedy Central, and
I think that is that one. Or there's always some weird looking girl. On every sketch,
there's always a token girl.
But she's always weird looking. Who's the one on The State that went on to, God, what is her name? Trudy. She's Trudy something on Reno
911. Reno 911, yeah. But she's kind of, she's funny. She's got, but she's kind of goofy
weird looking. But there was actually that one called The Back Lot.
I don't think I remember that
one. Or The Something Lot. The Vacant Lot. And that sucked. Yeah.
There was one they played.
The State and Kids in the Hall, really, were...
Well, no, there was another one. And I want to say they were out of, like... I want to say they were out of either Portland or Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of the group, but they had this one thing. It was the high-fiving white guys. And it's these guys running through the park just high-fiving each other.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then they had one that it was so funny. It was it was like the people driving their cars.
Mm-hmm.
They were describing what car they drive, And then they had like a closed caption of what it meant for them. Yeah. And one was like, I drive a 1972 yellow Ford Pinto. I'm still driving my graduation present. Nice. The other one is this one girl shows up and goes, I drive a white Volkswagen Cabriolet convertible with sorority license plate and a sorority sticker and a vanity plate that says too hot. I am a bitch.
Nice. Very cool. And God, that would be funny to see. If you think of what that is.
Yeah, I want to say it was like Four on the Floor or something like that. It was another improv comedy type sketch group.
Yeah.
I just remember the guy kind of looked like, the guy who did it kind of looked like Dr. Katz.
Okay.
You know.
If you get a chance to watch Little Britain, check it out. Actually, okay, there are two characters on there that are hilarious.
Wait, I have seen the one bit... I love you more than transvestites.
Yeah.
Transvestite porn,
yeah.
That was the one you showed me. No, what you were showing me. Aston, it was Aston sent it. Yeah. Yes.
I love you. Yeah, that was so cute. Or funny. But cute. Still cute. Actually, okay, there are two of those that I freaking love. One is David, which is... he's this rotund... but very little boyish-looking blonde man, right?
Okay.
And screaming queen, wearing spandex and glitter, and his hair's always got, like, a little flip in front, and just so gay. Like, beyond more gay than I ever could have been at the height of my gayness. And he's always talking about how he's the only gay at his village. And they're always trying to explain to him, no, you're not. Look, there's some gay people over there. And there are two guys, like, kissing. No, right. They're just... checking each other's teeth or something. I'm the only gay in my village. And he takes so much pride in being, like, so completely alone, but he's so depressed because there's no one to date. And they're like, no, there's the gay men's group that meets here every Wednesday, David. And he's like, no, I'm the only gay in my village, which is hilarious because when I worked at my previous job, I was the only gay person there. And so I would just come home and I would be like, I'm the only gay in my village. And my partner would be like, yeah, that sucks. She was the only gay in her village, too.
Right.
That one's funny. There's also this Scottish guy who owns, like, a bed and breakfast, but I think it's at a castle.
Right.
And he carries a flute with him, and he won't answer a question straight. You ask him a question, how much are the rates? And they'll play some little trill on the flute, and he'll be like... he'll come up with some random poetic... how can you put a price on... I don't know. I can't quote anything directly, but it's so fucking funny. And he's like crazy Scottish guy with his flute. And he'll, you know, maybe there be so-and-so and maybe there not be, but you won't know until, you know, and he's
right.
Just, he goes off. Anyways, it's fucking funny.
The other one I want to check out actually is Mighty Boosh because of Noel, what is his name? I know he's on the IT Crowd. He's a scary, guy. Yeah. He also is the captain on Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Okay. Talk to Phantom about the Mighty Boosh because he can do all the voices.
Okay.
So well.
And speaking of sketch comedy, one of the few autographs I actually want to get for Dragon Con is Phil LaMarr.
Okay.
Who everybody knows him as either Hermes from the bureaucrat from Futurama.
Uh huh.
And he also was Jon Stewart on the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Cartoons.
Okay.
He's been doing a lot of cartoon voices.
That's not ringing a bell to me at all.
But on Matt, he was one of the original members of Mad TV.
Okay.
And he was the most famous one is he was the hyperactive UPS guy.
Yeah,
It may have started off as actually UPS, but as they went later, he was wearing a UPS-ish. Mm-hmm. Outfit.
Oh, but he probably said
something because I want to say with the first couple of sketches he actually was UPS, but then they had to kind of drop that bit. But he's also he's one of the co-stars on one of my favorite movies, Free Enterprise.
I don't think I've seen that.
Main story.
We're not going to talk about movies.
But it's basically take swingers. And add a sci-fi element.
Okay.
Because it's basically about two guys who are really big into Star Trek.
Okay.
And that's pretty much been mm-hmm. the focus of our lives.
Okay.
So, but it's got a very swinger-esque kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would know Will, the guy who played Will from Will and Grace. He's one of the stars.
Oh, no way. Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And he plays one of their friends. And you see him somewhat. Uh-huh. He didn't have a huge role, but he's actually... Because it's one of those movies where it's based on the guys who wrote its real life.
Okay.
You know, of course, exaggerated.
Right.
And he's actually based on his friend, one of his friends. And they actually, the outtakes, mm-hmm. they show Phil Lamar, the guy he's based on. And it's like, oh yeah, he got... Yeah, they should have done more with him because he was exactly like the friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, cool.
But yeah, he's done a lot of... You go through Phil Lamar's filmography, and the guy does voices everywhere. You'd also know him. This guy gets his head blown off in Pulp Fiction.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I wouldn't.
He's the reason they have to clean up the car.
Yeah, I can't picture his face. Yeah, I know the scene. I know the cleaning. I know all that, but yeah.
I ain't even got an opinion.
Yeah.
This is his line. Because they're having the whole discussion about the fact that the bullets just went by them.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit, I gotta watch that again.
Yeah.
Because people are always quoting that, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen the movie a couple times.
Yeah, rent it. So long.
See, I don't absorb movies, though. You know, I think I've mentioned this to you. I watch them, and then I kind of move on and go find something else.
It depends on the movies. And Pulp Fiction is just one of those movies that just, for me, just kind of struck me. And it's got such a memorable... Plus, if you buy the soundtrack...
There are some, I guess.
Plus, if you buy the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
You get bits of the movie in it.
Oh, right.
So there are...
So that kind of refreshes.
They did the same thing with From Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll intersperse video...
That actually brings up a good point about... And we were actually talking about movie soundtracks before.
Right.
One of my other... really good movie soundtracks is Natural Born Killers, because it'll have clips from the movie.
Right.
But that's got, like, some good Leonard Cohen and...
Yeah.
Who else is on that?
I'm trying to think. I know there's L7 Shit List is on
right,
there.
Right, right, good one.
There's a Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
It's Something I Can Never Have is on there.
Who is it? Was Golden Palominos? No, I was listening to Golden Palominos around the same
What is it? Sweet Jane, but it's not...
Yeah.
Is it Massey Starr that does Sweet Jane on that?
No, I think it was Concrete Blonde.
No, it wasn't Concrete Blonde.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive it wasn't, because I don't believe Concrete Blonde's were on that soundtrack.
No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Concrete Blonde, but
Cowboy Junkies.
Yeah.
Concrete Blonde actually covers a Leonard Cohen song for Pump Up the Volume.
See,
which is also a great soundtrack.
I always get Concrete Blonde and Cowboy Junkies mixed up because there are two more that I was listening to about the same time that I was like really hyper about. So.
Because Pump Up the Volume has Concrete Blonde's doing Everybody Knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Henry Rollins and the Jam, Henry Rollins and Bad Brains doing Kick Out the Jams.
Okay.
It's got Peter Murphy's I've Got a what's it? I've Got a Miniature Secret Camera. Yeah. It's got Pixies' Wave of Mutilation. I mean, it's just... It's one of those, like, great underground 90s type stuff.
Well, speaking of... I had actually mentioned two of my very favorite soundtracks ever. One, actually, now that I think about it, now that I'm sitting here, Proteus bought for me. Proteus, who came and did the horror, the Talking Horror movies.
Yeah,
which is Foxfire.
Right, which is another one. I'm not that... I've seen the movie, but not so familiar with the soundtrack.
And it's got L7. It's got Shirley Mahaley, which is, like, one of my favorite songs fucking ever. It's got The Cramps, Let's Get Fucked Up.
Right.
It's got The Wild Strawberries. It's got Massey Starr. You know the scene where they're doing the tattooing?
Yeah, yeah.
And that really kind of slow and erotic, but, you know, really intense. That's Massey Starr, Into Dust. Wild Strawberries, Kristen Hirsch. God, I love that soundtrack. It's so good. And then my other one was Spawn, which we were talking about. They bring together metal with electronica. And it's when electronica was like really fresh and new.
Right.
And, oh my
God.
That
was also around the time you had the Hacker soundtrack that was everywhere.
Right.
And
exactly. But it was really creative the way they paired people. And they actually even had some people who weren't metal, like you know, like I said, the Butthole Surfers. But they had, I think it was Orbital that remixed Trip Like I Do.
Right.
But they had Metallica for Who the Bell Tolls remixed.
I want to say that may have been Crystal Method. Or did they do the Marilyn Manson?
No, you're right. They did. They
okay,
did
so it was like Metallica and
Orbital did something on there.
Yeah, but I think maybe they did it with... Were they the Marilyn Manson one, maybe?
Maybe.
Either that or maybe Chemical Brothers.
Yeah. I've got it at home. But yeah, that was an amazing soundtrack.
The guy I used to hang out with as a DJ, he had the soundtrack and was using it.
Yeah, it was so fucking good. Okay, and then one more.
Okay.
Because I'm on a roll. Queen of the Damned. And it's got all kinds of Korn. The you know, when the guy was singing, that was mostly Korn, early Korn.
Right. I never saw the movie.
Movie's good.
Again, one of those movies that I've heard, one of those things where I've heard opposite. And I wasn't real happy with the fact that they skipped over an entire book that sets up Queen of the Damned.
Yes and no. It is okay as a standalone movie, I think.
Oh, it's just...
Having read the books... Okay, I read the books, but several years previous to seeing the movie. So I had forgotten a lot of the details that piss people off when they're always left out. So I could see the movie as you know, on its own, knowing the general story, but not all the little details. I thought it was a great movie. But it had all those pretty things that I like. You know?
You do go more aesthetic sometimes when it comes
to... Totally. If it sets a mood and there's a setting, and sometimes fashion, and you know me, I'm not a fashion girl, but I like seeing people wear cool shit.
You like the palette. You like the aesthetics.
And the colors and the music. The soundtrack is huge for me. Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, give it a shot now. I mean, how long has it been since you've read the books?
It's been a while, but this wasn't even the fact that... It wasn't even a fact that they're, you know... It's not like, you know, watching the Harry Potter movie and having read the book and seeing what they stuck out. The fact... Just the sheer fact that they jumped an entire book that sets up the character that's just supposed to be the hero.
It works.
Because, you know, in Interview with the Vampire, Lestat's a jackass. Yeah. I mean, then once you read Lestat, you learn
more about him
and what he was doing. And no, he wasn't actually being...
Well, I mean, you could really say the same thing about Eric in True Blood. You know, he is such a raging asshole at the beginning of season two, but then they start to reveal a little bit more about him, and you find out he is kind of a more sympathetic character. Yeah, he was an asshole, but he was under a lot of pressure.
Up to episode 5.
Okay, well, I'm not really giving anything away. They do reveal some things about him, however, not one tenth of as much as they reveal in the books.
I have seen the thing about the crown.
About the crown.
When they're showing him around the house, and he's showing him like the trophy room, and there's the crown. And you get the flashback.
Right. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, okay.
I saw it last week, that's why.
But there's so much that is left out in those books.
Yeah, but they didn't leave out an entire book.
No, but watch it. Divorce yourself from the idea that it is part of that series and just watch it as a movie.
Oh, man.
And that's a vampire named Lestat. You know, and try to come to it like he could Todd, you know.
Yeah.
And see what you think.
Unless there are no vampires named Todd.
Yeah.
And then there are no poor vampires.
If there are, they change their name to something way cooler.
But you notice there's no poor vampires either.
Well, they can take their wallet after they drain somebody.
Well, that, but you know, I think the only time you actually see like middle class and working class vampires is the Anita Blake series.
Or in Vampire the series, because the Gangrel and the Nosferatu and the Malkavians don't really get
like
along with...
saw grand total of two, maybe.
Well, but they don't, you know, Nosferatu aren't going to hold jobs. You know what I mean? They live in sewers. Those are not wealthy people.
I know, but again...
Malkavians are crazy, so they're out busy bombing shit. They don't care about money. The Gangrel are wild and crazy and live out in the woods.
Don't care about money.
Right. So, See? See? Look at some geek shit that I just pulled out of my hat. That just kicked ass. I'm so fucking proud of myself right now. I played live action Vampire a couple times, and I love the atmosphere of it. I love the books. I like reading about it.
Oh,
I like creating my characters. I just can't do LARP for shit.
Right. So. I've only played the tabletop version because every time I saw like at Dragon Con, they do live action Vampire, and you know what I saw?
Poncy windbags.
No, a lot of kids and pale kids in black sitting around going, "I'm playing Vampire." Right. Really? This is Vampire?
Yeah.
This sucks. I think I had to be talked into. I think I had to be talked into playing the tabletop game because of what I had seen, you know, playing it tabletop like Dungeons and Dragons after seeing the live action thing going. Yeah. Really?
Well, a lot of the crowd that used to play Vampire the Gathering is now the Vampire, you know, I think they still call themselves the Camarilla of Atlanta, and they're not. They're role-playing, but there's no game.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, considering White Wolf completely destroyed the original the original universe and created something new.
Well, you can still play the old...
They basically had, you know, one of the underlying themes of the game was the whole vampire apocalypse.
Yeah.
Well... They did it.
Yeah.
They set the vampire apocalypse and just basically wiped out and brought out a whole new system. Well, which you can still play the old system, but I'm just saying that's what they did, which I think is
kind of
cool.
A lot of people who are really pissed off, though, when Werewolf came out, a couple of my friends who are playing Vampire tried it.
Right.
And there are some diehard Werewolf enthusiasts. I don't know if those were people who adopted it from Vampire or who just started in playing Werewolf. But a lot of people are like, yeah, that's cool. We're still playing Vampire over here.
Well, it was part of the system. They actually had, in the Vampire, in the whole mythos, you had Vampire the Masquerade. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
So then Mage the Ascension came out.
Right.
Totally pissed off a lot of people. They were like, this is just some bullshit. I know a bunch of people who are just like, this is just, they're throwing in all this extra shit. It's just bollocks.
Right.
Then they came out with Waif, which was the ghost.
Wraith.
Which was the ghost. Further infuriated people, because they were still playing Vampire. Three, you know, other races that you could play, and they're still real die-hard on their Vampire. Didn't they release a fairy one?
Yeah, Changeling.
Yeah, and...
Which I don't think we used in our...
Yeah. But I just know a lot of people were really, you know, they kind of halfway went with Werewolf, but then the rest was just like... Just a thorn in their side.
Right. Well, again, I didn't hang with the LARPers. I hung with the tabletop people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know at one point we were trying to run, although we never really went with it, but we were trying to run in that universe a game that would have started with ancient Rome and worked our way up. One person being a vampire, one person being a werewolf, one being a wraith, and one being a mage.
Okay.
Each having their ability to live through the ages. Mm-hmm. You know, vampires don't die, wraiths are ghosts. Mm-hmm. So, werewolf, I believe, had a reincarnation aspect to it if you wanted to.
Right.
And, of course, mage could prolong their lives in some kind of magical way.
There are crossovers, too. Like, the gangrel vampires had a really tight affinity with the werewolves because they were a little bit wilder, and they actually had some kind of primal traits.
Right.
And everybody was tied back to the Romani, on both sides.
Right.
Hey, you know what? If you ever know anyone who's putting on a vampire game, not live action, that might be fun to play.
I've tried because we have the books. We have the
I've got the original Vampire book.
I've got the player's book. I've got the original book.
Mm-hmm.
I've also got the players the supplement that actually brought in the Sabbat and the other races.
Okay.
I've even got the Book of Nod.
Oh yeah, I do too.
And I've got the Prince Handbook.
I don't have that.
I've got one, I think I've got two of the character supplements, one on Nosferatu, one on the, one based on the actual mob.
Yeah, see, I think I've got the gang girl.
There was a death. There was one that was basically, 'cause my ex, Red of the Dead, really liked this particular.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Ventru or the Tremere that were really mob-based?
The Ventru was basically the high class, but this one was actually an Italian-based death cult vampires. Uh-huh. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. But they dealt with necromancy and maybe even necrophilia. Yeah.
Well, I mean, who hasn't?
They were very they were very dark. They were
sometimes
very dark.
Sometimes you're Randy and there's a corpse. You know.
Because I wanted to have sex with a dead French man. Giggity. Nice.
But yeah, I don't know if you ever want to, because I can't run a game.
I tried one. I wasn't happy with the way it came out.
I wonder if Phantom ever has run a game. I doubt it. I don't think Aruga has.
No, and she definitely does not have the personality to be a game master.
Yeah. Shit, I'd probably be the one who would end up trying to run it, because I'm kind of...
I think you have the better story.
Ass personality.
Well, you also probably have the better storytelling.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I do, because gaming has always intimidated the hell out of me. Because, again, all my friends were so good, and I just felt kind of stupid whenever I would try. Okay, I gotta work this out. Okay, speaking of gaming, though, Need Coffee just released that new podcast, The Groove Cafe.
The Groove Cafe, yeah.
And they talk about video games, which is great.
Right, and role-playing games.
Right, and Rox was talking about board gaming.
Right.
And she was talking about Arkham Horror.
Right, yeah.
Which I'm dying to get. Will you guys play with us?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have to have it. And I tweeted at her, whether she thought anyone at Dragon Con would have it. And she said, oh, yeah, totally, the Cthulhu people will have it.
Oh, yeah, Steve Jackson Games has a booth at...
Well, I don't think that's Steve Jackson.
No, I'm just saying, Steve Jackson Games has a booth they put up at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
So you can get... That's why I got...
I'll probably get Shea Geek, because I've heard Shea Geek's really fun.
I may pick up some... Because they're getting ready to come out with a medieval GURPS.
Oh, no way.
Supplement, which was brought up during the thing. But
They
have some GURPS. Really good, they're basically the GURPS books for, because see, we could probably, unfortunately our group is big enough right now.
Well, could there be like two separate games going on at the same time? I'm not trying to weasel in.
I'm just saying, honestly, I think I'd have to talk to them. But our group has whittled down so far that maybe we can add one or two and then
because if Phantom played and I kind of hung out and made snacks and shit, I'd be thrilled with that.
I'm sure we can do.
Yeah.
And the great thing about GURPS is you can pretty much play as long as you have the books or can fake it enough.
Yeah.
You can do it because like right now our running game is a Firefly-based based in the Firefly Serenity universe, but using GURPS. Though there is a Firefly role-playing game, we're using the GURPS system to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know how Rox was talking about she always had somebody who was like, I take an etching of
the... Yeah.
That would have been me. I'd have been don't know what to do here.
Most of my group, doing the off-the-wall, the thing is the guy who does a lot of our gaming... is so nutty. He'll roll with it and come up with something off the wall with it.
Okay, cool. No, I'm not. I'm certainly not trying to squeeze in. But,
oh no, but I'm saying because we lost a large group.
If Misha wanted to play Arkham Horror, I'm totally gonna try to find him at Dragon Con. So we'll just leave it at that. And you guys gotta have to learn Munchkin too.
I'm sure I think you pretty much already said once he was coming down, you were gonna force us to.
Yeah. Hey. By the way, Tuesday night's Munchkin night. Hope you're not busy. actually, we're going to take that to Dragon Con.
Be sitting around some night and all of a sudden you're, Munchkin!
And we brought little donut holes.
What do you call them? Munchkin? No, this is the game. What do you call these little donut holes that come into the, the Happy Meal box? Munchkin.
Donut holes.
No, these are here.
Yeah. We are taking it to Dragon Con, and I'm hoping we get some downtime. I doubt we will, but I would love to get down to the game.
You would have to force yourself not to do something at night.
Yeah,
probably be the best time to do it.
And speaking of my baby boy, who, you know, I was seeing before,
yeah,
before Phantom, he may be coming from Memphis, which is kind of cool,
right?
Because he's super into gaming. I mean, he, you know, he plays like board gaming mostly.
Right.
I know he's into Settlers of Catan. He was in a tournament.
I've played that a couple of times.
Yeah, he plays a bunch. I can't think of any other ones right now.
I actually like Settlers because it is one of those games.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I like Zombie, which is the one where it actually, the board changes with every game because you basically have tiles. Uh-huh. And as you play, you lay them down to put the cityscape out.
Is that the one where on the front it's like 1950s kind of drive-in?
Kind of, no, well, it's kind of across between 1950s and like Evil Dead kind of artwork.
Maybe that's the one I've seen, because he may have bought that.
They have several. They have several different. Yeah. They have zombies, and then they have like four, maybe five expansions that you can add to it. And
well, I've got Illuminati. Speaking of Steve Jackson, which I bought because I was all hyper about the Illuminati app on iPhone.
And did you ever play? Have you played it yet?
It looks fucking complicated. Well, and who would I play with?
True.
Yeah, there's the second part. But it might be worth figuring out.
Again, we've told you, any Saturday, you know, ring, ring.
Yeah,
ring.
Saturdays are, you know, how Saturdays are for me right now. Right. There's a lot of driving to Canton. But we should totally set up just a Munchkin night.
Right.
And Munchkin is not a continuing game, so we could just, you know, sit around,
right,
and drink and carry on and play Munchkin. Yeah. There was other shit we were going to talk about.
Yeah, we were, yeah.
You
know what? Before we go on to anything else, let's get rid of the email that we've...
Not get rid of the email.
Well, but
let's address the
finally
fabulous,
do the email, yes. That we screwed
from
up.
From the fabulous Jasmine.
Which she said two episodes ago.
Yeah.
And the first time, for some weird reason, neither one of us checked.
I didn't see it until after.
Yeah, because, well, for some reason we were both focused on Twitter.
Right.
Waiting for the questions to come in and didn't even look at our emails.
I'm trying to hold this away from the mic.
I know. I remember hearing it from...
Hearing
it
Oh, I do have an app.
Okay.
While I've got my phone here. I have an app. Speaking of Steve Jackson games.
Right.
Steve Jackson, I have not played it.
Okay.
The Zombie Dice app was just released.
Oh!
You play against your phone.
Interesting!
Right? Because we played Zombie Dice and liked
it.
Yeah. So yeah, I haven't played that yet, but look at the graphics grid.
And I guess it works with the shaking.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to shake, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it work with the whole part of where you're picking out three dice, or it just gives you three dice randomly?
I could probably tell you if I'd played it, but I just said I haven't played it.
Oh,
that was the
okay.
first time I'd opened it.
Oh.
I just downloaded it.
Was it free?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
I may have to look for it and check it out.
You need it now, actually.
No, because we have no, we have very, very limited reception here, and I'm not going
to
go run up
tonight,
there while we're watching.
Tonight. Yeah, and we just went to Fry's, and I'm upgrading my iPhone to...
I wouldn't say upgrade.
It's an upgrade if you get a new phone.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a quick messaging phone. I'm going to miss my iPhone. But,
yeah.
You know? Here we go. As in past times, I will try and ask a question for both halves of the show. So I'll start with Kinky this time, I guess. Thank you. You love me. I can tell. What's a good way to suggest to a partner that you would be ready for bedroom activities? And is there a time when that would be too soon? For you... I don't know. I mean,
I know it all really depends on you and your partner. I mean, I can't say much because I have fucked on the first date.
And when I was like looking, I was looking for sex. I wanted sex, and like if something else, you know, you and I had a really good friendship that kind of blossomed from it. I have some good friendships with some other people, but sex was my priority one because I had been so sex starved for so long.
Right.
So I would kind of lead with, I probably want to get it on with you. But I'm just like weird aggressive
least put on a show for the people in the Chili's parking lot.
Right. I can't talk about that anymore. I'm totally attached.
Yes.
That was good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
But again, it I think it really depends on the people.
Yeah.
I, as a guy, would always let the woman set the mood. So if I'm making out with her and I put my hand up her shirt and she stops my hand, the hand moves away and we keep just making out.
Right. Yeah.
If the hand goes up the shirt and she says nothing about it,
then the other hand goes down the pants.
Or, and I may progress from there. Yeah. But I always made sure she was the one that set the boundaries because being a guy.
Whereas I would be like grabbing her hand and putting it on my tit.
Right.
So, but that's me. It's so hard for me to. I really don't think I'm that different necessarily for other girls. I just don't try to hide the fact that I really like sex.
Right.
And most women do. It feels really fucking good for us too.
Right.
But there's just, I think, some added layers of societal bullshit.
Yeah, it all depends on how you were raised. The more open you're, also, it depends a lot like on your former partners. If you were, the equivalent of date rape almost, most of the time,
you're going to be a little shyer. Or if you, were in a 7-year marriage where you hadn't had sex for 2 years and you felt like shit about yourself, you're going to be pretty perky to get it on really soon. So I guess the gist is that would be up to you.
Right.
I don't think there's any time that's too soon, but that's me. That's my personality.
And how to say that you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
Best way is just show.
Yeah.
I have no knowledge if this is a personal thing. I don't know anything about your partner. But if he's like me, and as he progressively goes, sometimes you don't even have to say, just do.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to a point where you normally would stop, say, I'm ready.
Right.
Or, lead him into the bedroom, or put your hand on his cock, you know. Whatever way it feels most comfortable for you.
Never mind. I was just flashing back. You said put your hand on his cock, and I was just flashing back to a very scared young person I used to date when I was also a young person. Anyways, moving on. Maybe I am like really fucking weird. I don't know. I'd like to think that
I'm you're just, you. I wouldn't say weird. You have your own set of experiences and.
Yeah, I'm not scared of it. I'm not, I'm not looking for approval. It's not a need that I don't need people to like me, and so I have sex with them. I just really like sex.
Right.
I think it's fairly healthy.
I think you're very healthy with what you do.
Yeah, I don't lie about it. I hate it when people lie and try to.
Well, that was the interesting thing listening, because I went through a lot of erotic awakenings today. And that was one thing that because they have two separate swinging shows. Mm-hmm. And one of them was talking about how they were a lot of female swingers. Mm-hmm. And that does seem to be the thing, is where you do have where women are a lot more open with their sexuality, where guys are like, well, I don't want my wife fucking another guy, but I want six women all over my ass type thing. So,
well, it is kind of. It does depend on the circles, because you mentioned swingers and also the kink circle. At the dungeon, women are very open.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, it really depends on the crowd you tend to be with.
I think there's just so much more shame that's heaped on us for wanting sex. Some people respond to it by accepting that shame and being shameful, and some of us
rebelled against it and wanted to find out what was so bad about this sex they talk about. Yeah,
exactly. Or that whole everybody trying to talk you out of it makes it fascinating.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I feel when it comes to. It's almost like kind of the way I look at guns. The kids that are exposed to guns early on and are taught the respect of what a firearm is.
Right, and the rules.
And the rule, are the ones that seem to be better than having it just locked in a box.
Right.
Do not touch that.
It's same thing with booze. You know, I've said this before. Growing up in an Irish Catholic family, there was always a drink around.
Right.
Always, always. But we learned, probably earlier than we should have, what a hangover feels like.
Right.
We don't want one. You know what I mean? We have a very healthy respect for alcohol. Neither my sister or I have any alcoholic tendencies at all.
Right.
Because it was always around. It was not a big deal. It wasn't like... we could have a glass of wine if we wanted to with dinner.
Right. It wasn't the taboo. Although, it was a taboo for me, but seeing it openly drunk, because my grandfather and my grandmothers were the type of... were I guess, holdovers from, you know, the 50s, where the person came home...
And had three cocktails
and had a cocktail, or, you know, had a cocktail or two before, you know, before bed or...
Yeah.
Or, you know, and that kind of stuff, because, you know... J&B was always in the house.
Right, right. And see, well, see, my grandparents are the same way. Pop always had at least two martinis before dinner. And we just knew that most of the time he was in a great mood.
Right.
Every once in a while he'd have three and a half and he'd be a raging asshole. He's a Scorpio. He had a huge temper, so you can't really blame
my grandfather was that way, but he's Southern dirt farmer raised, so he has a very strict, very, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child mentality. So, yeah. I don't think it was the alcohol ever. It was just that was his you know.
The alcohol helped his personality come out.
No. That was just his personality. I think what it was, because I never really saw him have more than maybe three at the very most. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they were in the highball glasses with just a little bit, with a lot of ice, you know, the ice and maybe something else. You know, I never saw the drink being made.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was never...
Shit, my grandfather can make a martini that will put chest on your hair.
Hair on your chest, although it is funnier.
It is so strong
it will put chest on your hair, yes.
For real. It will. I mean, my God, and my mom, her drinks are like, like fire water. Okay.
And we just completely veered off the original.
Weird tangent.
Yeah.
And we were going to talk about drinks tonight, but I don't think we've got time. Yeah, we're at 101.
Okay, we'll finish this
Let's
up,
read
yeah.
the second part of the question. Okay. And now the geeky. I was having a discussion earlier today with a friend over coffee, and we were discussing the U.S.'s lack of national traditions. Her opinion was that it was due to how young our country is, but her examples were things such as Day of the Dead in Mexico. I'm not sure it's just an age thing, as the U.S. is older than Mexico. My thought was based on our immense diversity and over-political correctness. What are your thoughts?
Okay, well, I think the thing is we do have at least one national tradition, and that would be Thanksgiving.
Yeah, or 4th of July.
Or 4th of July.
Yeah.
I was thinking...
Memorial Day, Labor Day, those are pretty American.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more of a set celebration, like a Day of the Dead, which is more of a family... remembrance type thing where you deal with your, you know, whether you're with your family. And I think Thanksgiving for the United States, even though there is a Thanksgiving for Canada too, it's very American.
Well, they all came from harvest festivals.
Oh, right.
Which, they came from, you know, Celtic countries and Nordic countries. And actually, most countries have some sort of harvest festival in the fall once the growing season is over. But for the U.S., when the country was young, because it was young, food was placed in such a high... It was prioritized very, very high, because there really was a fear that they may starve to death.
And that was the thing, is they had gone through such hardship when they first landed, and then thanks to what they were learned by the Indians that helped them... Which was really funny, because I found out later, watching that America, the story of Us, that the one of the paybacks for the Indians helping, the pilgrims helping the Indians, was that the pilgrims helped the Indians raid their enemies.
Yeah.
So there was like a collaboration attack of their tribe against...
You could look at the tribes in Africa selling their neighbor tribes as slaves because they were pissed off at them.
Oh, that what was the best way to get these people out of your hair than to get rid of them?
Yeah. Be like, hey, get these guys over here.
I would say we do. I do think because we are so diverse, maybe that is something that keeps us from having even more major ones. But I think with Thanksgiving and 4th of July mm-hmm. being basically celebrations, one being yeah. a celebration of, you know, thanks, because that was the whole idea. Yeah. They were really happy they weren't dead.
Right.
So that became it, and then the celebration being...
when the country was born, it was rough.
Well, it was... Yeah, you had basically pampered, you know, mm-hmm. it's basically like taking the people, someone who lives in New York now mm-hmm. and sending them out to Montana to live.
Right.
With no real skills to live in Montana.
No cell phones.
Right. Yeah. You know, that was basically the way it is when you go from such a, at the time, the most civilized parts of the world mm-hmm. being England, Spain, and France.
Yeah.
And coming over to where there was nothing except for... Right.
Woods.
Yeah. And rocks.
Well, and bears. And bears. And jaguars? Were the jaguars here?
Further south.
Jaguars south, but they're...
Mountain lions. Wolves.
Yeah.
Coyotes.
Yeah, lots of scary shit.
Yeah, there was...
That's all, you know, lives in very small little places now.
And come down and take your garbage and get run off by a cat.
Yeah.
There's a video out there where you see this bear come up and he's going to steal the garbage, and all of a sudden you see this blur of fur come right, and you basically have a bear and a cat standing off, and the bear does this like wide berth to come around the cat, grab the bag of trash and run off into the woods.
Nice.
It was like the bear was like, fuck, all I wanted to do was eat, and this fucker's coming after me. I can't eat you, but I don't want to.
You're crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of like what they tell you to do in prison. First thing to do is you basically go up to the biggest person you see and hit him in the face and act all crazy.
That's
what the cat was doing.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that's what it is. We have such a... We do have... And the 4th of July being a celebration of...
Hey, we're all living in the United States.
Yeah, we all live in the United States.
Even in the height of my paranoia when George W. was president, and, you know, I had all my issues with my gay marriage not being recognized,
right.
and I'm paying taxes to a country that won't let me get married and get the same protections as straight people. As much as I hated George W., I still knew I was fucking lucky to be here.
Right.
I'm fucking lucky that I was born in the time that I was born and born into this country, because I could be pissed off about that.
Right.
Openly. So I think most of us here, especially if you come from another country or...
Those are the people who seem to...
Crazy patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very patriotic.
Naturalized citizens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very patriotic. And I think that's why 4th of July is...
Because they come here for a reason. They know where they come from.
Yeah.
They can't have the same opportunities.
Right. And we're lucky, we're all just very lucky to live here. Because, you know, and at one point I was so afraid that I was ready to move to Canada. It's not because I hated the country. I knew, again, that I was, you know, lucky to live here. It was just because, you know, I was scared. Okay, I'm just going to mention this last thing just super fucking quick.
Okay.
Throwing a Halloween party. For Phantom moving down.
Right.
Probably the week before Halloween, and we were trying to come up with drinks. And you showed me the Devil's Cookbook.
Right.
Which we kicks could
discuss,
ass.
Yeah, we may discuss that next time.
Yeah, I think we should.
We should do another booze cast.
And I am... Okay, first of all, let me put out a call. If anyone knows of a really great Halloween drink, and I saw some in your book, but I want, like, one really kick-ass Halloween-y drink... I had looked at maybe a zombie or swamp water.
Right.
Are there, things that are kind of along a horror theme? I'm thinking about doing a punch. It's not a Halloween theme. That's all year round. That's all year. I'm thinking about doing a punch with spiced pumpkin, apple liqueur, black tea, ginger ale, and rum. So if anyone else wants to try that and let me know what you think, I'll probably go sample it myself and see how that works out. But a big party to celebrate Phantom
Meeting. Right, and it's one of those things where it's like it could be a great taste sensation, or it could
be gnarly.
It could be gnarly. It's one of those things that may sound like it goes together.
Yeah, I'm willing to totally concede that it could be some nasty shit, but I'm gonna try it.
Oh.
Butterscotch schnapps would be kind of good. Kind of add like a little buttery.
Yeah, I think that's pushing it.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I've got the apple and the rum.
Because you also put in the taste of ginger in there with the ginger ale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that may be a little too much flavors.
I need some sort of soda, but I don't think club soda would be...
That may be your best, because you get the bubbly, and you get the without the added flavor, yeah.
Hmm. I'll try it with
Either that or champagne.
Yeah, that adds more alcohol. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. And all you really need to do is buy like a cheap California sparkling wine. Right, you don't need to have to actually,
spend the Prosecco, maybe.
Again, also talked about on Good Eats, because he was saying don't spend the money when it comes to a punch. Don't spend the bucks for the French champagne. Actually, go for either an Italian
or a Prosecco.
Or an Italian. That's what that is. Italian version of champagne
it's
or
like
sparkling
a little bit sweeter.
Wine.
Yeah.
Well, you can only call it champagne if it comes from the French region. It's just like cognac brandy only comes from cognac.
Right.
The cognac region.
Brandy. Maybe something else to think of. Not for this punch, but I'm going to be doing some experimenting to come up with a really good punch. Okay, we're at a minute 10.
Okay.
We don't have that much room this month either. Find us at kinkyandthegeek.wordpress.com,
and you can find every other thing you need to find is there.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Anything else?
That's it.
Be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.
Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.